Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Here in our final broadcast before the fun drive, which is coming up next week. Which means irregular programming. Right now, let's talk about something else. I heard from a few people today. Let's talk about dating. Dating, not so much the romantic dating, mate date. Not dating a mate. But let's see if we can talk about a different kind of dating. The dates that you do with friends. You have dates with friends, you have dates with family. You get together with them and you say the private time. You set up to see someone who you might not normally run into. A date for dinner. A date for movies, a date for the walk in the park. There seem to be many kinds of date that people make. There's a breakfast, lunch, or dinner date, the object of which is communicating, talking. How are you? What's new? Informational stuff. With a tinge of intimacy in there. Caring, respect, love, that's in there, but it's information. How are you and what's going on? And then usually there's a story that takes place. One person or another has a story to tell. And the other person is engaged, happily engaged, in the conversation. The scientists claim it's a woman-y kind of thing. They say that women tend to enjoy conversation much more than men do. That the conversations, according to what the latest research is, increases the serotonin. That the very act of conversation increases serotonin. Serotonin gives you a feeling of well-being. Women who have conversations increase their serotonin, and women's serotonin tend to get depleted much more than men's do. Because of their cycles. So women have a moving serotonin level, and it gets activated, brought up, especially in conversation. Not just conversation with your man, conversation with anybody. Talking, just having conversation. You could be at a nail parlor talking to the nail parlor person. And that'll do it. Or you could be on a cell phone in the nail parlor, talking to a friend on the cell phone while you have a human sitting right there that you could be talking to, but it doesn't matter. It's the act of communication. Raises that serotonin level. So today we're going to talk more about what happens. Women tend to enjoy talking. Got this? Talking, conversation, any conversation. They turn to their man, I need to talk to you. We need to talk. Men, they tend not to talk so much. They talk in passing. They tend to watch sports. And a small percentage of the time spent together is an actual communication. How's your job? Fine. Not how's your job? Well, I don't know. I'm in a little conflict about it because they wanted to hire this other person. Now, men don't do that. How's your job? Fine. Tell me if there's any tragedy around. Fill me in. Is there something really important we should be talking about? No good. Let's go back to watching sports. Let's go back to doing the thing we're doing. So communication for men is kind of catch-up. You know, let's catch up. And that's all that's necessary is catch up. And in general, women love to talk to each other, and often they talk about men. You see, because a story is going to happen in a conversation. When you have a conversation with somebody, you have a luncheon date, inevitably a man will come up. And if it's not a man, it could be your lover. It could be a woman with a woman lover. But a conversation is going to come up talking about another person. And this is intriguing now. Because if you're the second person, you're now listening to a story about a third person. And you're getting and giving advice. Well, I don't know. You know, he told me that he might not be able to get a divorce right away. And that conversation goes on for a long time. And then the response is, you now have this valued opinion. Well, I'm not so sure that he's going to get a divorce. You know, sounds to me like... And the conversation goes on a long time. Women talking to women about men can go on for hours and hours and hours. Women talking to women about each other does not go on so long. You see, it's one of the ways that you have conversations, but it's not too intimate, because what you do is you have conversations about other people. And men are easy to talk about. That's why women think that men always talk about women. They're sure that men talk about them. You know, they're sure. The characterization of locker rooms, the locker room conversation, is that guys spend time talking about women and their attributes. And that because women are so used to talking about their men, they assume the men are going to talk about their wives, especially if the wife feels like she's been a little unkind to her husband. She's sure he, her husband, is talking to his buddy about how unkind you are. But no, men don't do that much. They don't do it. It's not true. Their shared testosterone moments are very brief. They don't need to raise their serotonin that way. A brief reference to their wives or husbands, well, I'm having a hard time with it. No more conversation. Not, well, what's going on? That's not the conversation. And then if it's a reference, it's a locker room reference too, you know, like to some woman who's just attractive, you might say, boy, she's got some ankles, you know, and a guy might say that to another man, but that's the end of it also. It doesn't go much further than that. Yeah, did you see her knees? No, conversation's over. Unfathomable to women who imagine that most male conversation is about women. In a survey done at Northwestern University, a poll was taken about women and what they imagine men talk about. 80% of the women thought that men talk about them. Maybe it's Northwestern University, you know, egocentric, narcissistic. But 80% of them thought that men were talking about women. When the men were polled what they talk about, what do you think it was? Sports. They talk about sports. We talk about sports. We talk about rock climbing. We talk about things that we're going to do, you know, that we challenge each other with. Armand D'Amelio with you with the Positive Mind. There's more to it, and we're going to be talking to you about it. Yes, men tend to... So these conversations, these dates that we have with our friends... are precious. Precious. I look forward to getting together with my friend. My friend and I get together, and he and I are looking to spend our time with each other, and I anticipate it. I look forward to it. But when we get together, it's very little. Very little contact. We'll have dinner. A few references. A few comments. Going to Italy this week. Oh, how nice. Where are you going? That's it. Conversation's over. Very short meetings. Now, what does this mean in the difference between people and their conversations and people and their exchanges? Well, here's another thought. Here's one for you to think about yourself. I'm going to ask you a question. When you have a date with someone else, do you meet closer to your home or closer to theirs? Yes, and those dominants of you, those of you who know that you tend to be in charge, are going to say, well, yeah, it usually takes place at my house. Usually my neighborhood. Usually on the east side, not the west side. Yes, I ask people to come to me. I don't go to them. That's one question. Then comes this other one. In a conversation you have with a friend, who talks more? Well, you know what people who dominate conversations say? This was another one. This is in Germany. They did a survey in Germany where they were talking about people and how much of the conversation is dominated by you or by the other person. right? The person who tends to be the one who is the most talkative, right, observes that they talked equally. The person who is the least talkative observed that they barely talked at all. So when you have a dominant-submissive friendship relationship, the dominant one doesn't even notice that the other person's not getting a word in edgewise. Who talks the most? Okay, that brings up an issue in psychotherapy. Somebody comes to you and says, you know, I was out with my sister and we went to dinner. She doesn't even see me. Well, what do you mean she doesn't even see me? Well, I was trying to talk to her, and I told her, every time I told her something, she brought it around to herself again. Give me an example of that. I told her I had a major breakthrough in therapy. And she said, oh, yeah, I had a breakthrough in my kitchen. I went into my living room. So now this is something you say to yourself. We're going to have to change this relationship. Maybe. Or if you're a listener and a good listener, maybe that's your value to your friends. A lot of people love people just because they're good listeners. You know, the kind of person who'll look in your eyes, nod their head, you know, say kind things to you while you're talking. So this is what happens. You get a chance to replenish your serotonin while you're talking away like crazy. The other person's just there understanding that you're going to dominate the conversation. How are you in conversation? Do you dominate conversation, or do you tend to not be able to get a word in edgewise? And is the story that you could blame the other person all the time? No, because that other person has made a date with you because this is the nature of your relationship. You can't try to ask them to change. I mean, you could. You could say to them, look, every time we get together, you talk so much and I don't talk at all. And they won't know what to do. No, find new friends. Find a different friend who likes to listen to you. But then you might find that you find a friend who is maybe a little more passive than the ones you've been finding, because, you know, the one thing about somebody who's very talkative is they're not very passive. They're very active talkers. So you might find you have to carry, it takes more difficulty to carry a conversation. You know those dead, pregnant moments in a conversation where you think you're both bored with each other and you don't know what to say next? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So a lot of people think that they're doing one thing and maybe doing another in a relationship. The gross simplification of the difference between men and women, I fully understand. There is a man who is a sensitive man who likes to listen. I know about that. When you go out on a date, do you wind up being a listener or a talker? How much of the conversation do you need? Now, if you're dating somebody, and I mean if you're dating them, meaning that you've just started going out with them, and it's either going to be you want to go to bed with them or you want to marry them, and it's a dating thing. You know what I mean? You just have an agenda in mind. Of course you're going to be talking in a different kind of way, sizing the other person up, seeing what they respond to, what they like, what they don't like, what kind of conversation they want. 212-209-2900, our number here. This is Armand DeMille. We're getting a chance to talk to many of you today because it's the last day before our fund drive. We have a fund drive coming up next week, starting next week, raising money for the station. You can read about it on my website. We put up the dates that we're going to be on. We'll be starting at 12 next Wednesday. Let's take a couple of your calls, 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. You talked about dating.
Yes.
I am dating someone in the beginning, and I am feeling extremely uncomfortable. I'm a psychologist. I tend to be the person who listens. But I'm also finding it very hard to connect with him because of that tendency where he's more on the ADD side and talks a lot but doesn't engage enough. However, we're both attracted to each other and have already been intimate. So how do you deal with that dynamic and making it work in light of feeling very uncomfortable with that person?
Well, let's get this straight. You, a psychologist who tends to be organized, who likes to have as many weapons as possible so that you don't feel very vulnerable when dating men, right? I mean, you want to be able to understand. You even have diagnosis available. You can call him, says he has ADD. You got him nailed.
He's actually diagnosed himself. He's a physician. I know, but
You know what I mean. He's a physician?
Yes.
Okay, so here you are, the psychologist, mastery of the mind. And this is somebody who is befuddling you. What a wonderful thing that you can't figure it out. You think you're supposed to figure it out?
I'm supposed to figure out because I would like to develop this relationship, but yet in the context of being the one who is not able to engage because I tend to be the more quiet one, how do you go about getting over that discomfort or engaging someone who's less like myself, who is not going to be the one to listen and bring that out?
So what would happen if you let the conversation lag?
My anxiety would raise. My anxiety would raise, and it would be like a cycle of feeling more uncomfortable and then being more quiet.
And then?
And then I'd be afraid that he would reject me, I guess, based on that discomfort that I assume he's feeling too, but I'm not sure.
So tell him that.
Okay.
What's the matter with telling him that?
Because does that put too much pressure on him to make it better, to take care of
it? No, it doesn't seem to put any pressure on him. It seems that you're saying to him, you know, here's the way it goes. You have this kind of way of talking and being, and I usually have my tools ready to be able to run a lasso around just about any man, and I can't lasso you. And there's a part of that I really like. And here's the problem I have with you, but I'm afraid if the two of us sat around not talking very much, that you would eventually get bored with me or upset with me, and you would reject me. And put no onus on him at all. Just say, you know, maybe there are times we're not going to talk, and see what he says about it. He may be deeply relieved.
Okay.
What's your name?
Amanda.
Yeah. Amanda, no, he may be deeply relieved because maybe you need some quiet time between the two of you. You know?
Right.
Maybe he's trying so hard and you're trying so hard. And, you know, you got to try some of the men tricks. Go watch some football together.
Right. I mean, it's just interesting the discrepancy between what can happen physically and then how it is emotionally.
You mean sexually you two are absolutely connected like a tornado. It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. Exactly. It's wonderful. Right?
Yes.
And then any conversation at all becomes cumbersome.
Exactly.
I understand.
But it will take some effort, but I agree with you.
I don't know if it takes effort. It may take the absence of effort. Stop trying and be. Stop doing and just be there.
Well, thank you so much, and I love listening to your show.
Amanda, thank you very much for calling in.
Okay, take
care. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Yes, it's very often we wonder what the other person, how the other person's going to react. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Your question is, who dominates conversations? Is that what it is?
That's a good question. Who dominates conversations in your relationships?
I tend to. But at the same time, I don't interrupt someone else when they're talking unless they're just running on and on and on and on about nothing.
You can't stand when somebody's running on and on and on about nothing. Who tends to do that more, men or women?
I think it depends on the person. I don't think men or women.
Do you have good men friends?
Yeah.
Okay, with your men friends, you mean sometimes they carry on ad infinitum and you get bored with them?
Well, they just keep on talking about nothing or it won't let you get a word in edgewise.
They won't let you get a word in edgewise.
So I'll just stop the conversation. I'll say, wait a minute, let me finish what I'm saying or whatever. I'll stop them.
Well, that's a good thing. What's your name?
What?
What's your name?
Tom.
Tom, that's a great thing that you're able to stop it and not necessarily have yourself be the victim of their running on. It's a good thing. That's a good friend who does that.
Well, I do it for myself, not for them.
That's right, and that's what makes it a good friend. I thank you very much for calling in.
Okay.
Okay, Tom. Interesting voice. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking to people about their interactions with other people. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Yes, this is Mark. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hello, Mark.
Okay, in conversations, I tend to sit back and listen as long as the person I'm speaking to is making sense. And for me, it seems that it depends on the relationship. The closer I am with the person, I try to maintain a balance between the give and take.
Yes, and what happens when you don't maintain that balance?
Well, I feel cheated, and I try to avoid that situation because eventually I would resent the person for, you know, for not giving me an opportunity. But it's difficult for me to do that because I feel that I'm responsible for deciding whether I get an opportunity to share what I have to share.
It's pretty tough, but it sounds like you're really working at making sure you keep things honest.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's very important in relationships.
You weren't always like that, were you?
No.
Yeah.
But as I've matured, I really do think that the equal sharing is important in order to, you know, build the intimacy part.
Mark, when you were a kid, did you have a hard time talking to your dad?
It wasn't so much, it wasn't a hard time necessarily, because with my father, I really do admire my father. And it was just, you know, he just said the right things at the right time. So I don't quite remember many of the conversations, but I remember him saying, you know, profound things.
Did he listen to you?
Yeah, I think he was open. Yeah.
Nice thing. That really helped set the groundwork.
Yes.
For what you're able to do. Mark, thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Taking another call. Hi there. You're on the air. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Who is this?
Dude, this is such a treat. I usually listen to you in my vehicle. Anyway, I don't know. I'm a kind of guy, since high school, I've always had a girlfriend, and I actually got married, and I got divorced. And since then, I've had two girlfriends. And in the last 3 years, I can't really hook up to a steady girlfriend. And I don't know, I think it's maybe it's my conversation skills, or have I changed? I'm 50 years old. My name is Manny.
Yeah, you mean you don't feel like having, what is it? You feel like there's a big missing thing between you and them, Manny?
Yeah, because sometimes, like, I'll miss a girl a lot, and then we'll get something going, and then she'll, like, scold me, and then I'll say, oh, yeah, that's right. And I get into a kind of a funk.
You don't like being scolded.
Who does?
Oh, there are people who like being scolded.
Okay. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't like people who are short-tempered with me.
So people who are short-tempered with you get short-tempered with you, and you just cut them off.
Yeah,
you
it's
say,
like,
that's
oh,
it.
No.
I'm having nothing to do with you anymore. Is that true? Or do you stick around and say to them, you know, don't be short-tempered with me because I don't like it, and don't cut me off because I don't like it, and don't scold me?
Because then I'm like, now I have to be scolding her because, all right, who is going to be the scolding one in this?
Uh-huh.
You know, and then it's like makes
well, there's
the
a way
circle.
Of communicating it. You know, there's a way of communicating it where you say, you know, I experienced that thing that you were doing as if you were scolding me, and I know if I bring it to your attention, you're probably going to defend it. But when you talk to me that way, it hurts me. And I would prefer that you don't talk to me in that judgmental way.
Just use that word hurt? Like, how?
Yeah, hurt. Ouch is exactly right. In fact, I tell you that if you, Manny, did ouch every time somebody spoke to you and said something you didn't like,
mm-hmm.
you'd save yourself a lot of trouble.
Oh,
just say ouch, and they'd say, what's the matter? Say, oh, that hurt.
It's usually preceded with a hey, like, hey, ow.
Yeah.
Like that, hey, what are you doing? But I guess I don't do that often enough.
Yeah. I would go for the simple ouch.
Okay.
I would go for the simple ouch rather than the hey, ouch, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, you know, ouch, that hurt. As if you're going to say, I am a sensitive guy. I'm Manny. I'm a sensitive guy. And I may be overly sensitive. Something hurts me. I want to tell you what it is. It may not be your fault.
Sometimes I say, hey, I'm an artist. I'm a freaking sensitive guy. So it's kind of a joke.
It is a joke. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you very much for having me. Bye, Irma.
Sure. 212-209-2900. We've got a special treat for you today. Hi there. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Here we go. 212-209-2900. It's great. Hi.
Hi, Armand. This is Jim from Long Island. How are you?
Hello, Jim.
I grew up in a household where I kind of shut down and closed up for many years. And then in my adult life, as I went into counseling, I seemed to have found my voice. And I studied kind of the Enneagram, and I wind up being a 9. But I think through the therapy, I found a way of communicating that's a lot of fun.
Fun.
Yeah. I don't, generally I keep, I'll keep to the background, but then I guess now in my adult life I'm able to, I think, ask questions that start up, a topic and a conversation, even with, you know, a group of people. And so I find there's like a lot of power in kind of, changing a topic to something that's interesting. And then I kind of let it go and it seems to, you know, go around the room, you know, the conversation or the topic, whirls around and it's fun.
It sounds like you've come a very long way. It
yeah.
used to be very different.
Yeah. Okay. In my marriage, I was the one that was, I was the minority as far as talking. And my wife would talk a lot. And I would have to be the one listening.
Yeah, it's really beautiful to hear such growth. My congratulations to you and to your therapy, Jim.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
212-209-2900. It's great when people learn about themselves. We're taking your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hi there.
It's Edward.
Hello, Edward. It's been a long time.
Yes. I wanted to talk about something. I don't know if it's okay or not, or on the air, but I think that, like, I was circumcised, okay? And I think that when that happened, I can't sense subtle sensations. So, like, if a woman sends me subtle things, like, it's like the woman's clitoris. Imagine if it was exposed all the time. You know, if the hood was cut off at birth.
Hang on a second there, Edward. I think this is a conversation for another program because it's just a wee bit too graphic for what we're doing right now. Although you do have my great respects, and as you know, I'd always be there for your phone calls. But that's not what we're talking about today. But thank you very much for calling in, Edward.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
I love you. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, a little music and a treat. We'll be right back.
No dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
The Círculo Bolivariano Alberto Lovera and the May 20th Coalition invite you to join us Saturday, May 20th in Washington, D.C. to demand a stop to the Bush administration's threats against Venezuela, to demand an end to the U.S. government's economic and political war against Cuba, to demand an end to U.S. military intervention in Latin America and the Caribbean, and to support the right of U.S. citizens to travel to Cuba. Buses from New York will leave at 5:30 a.m. Saturday, May 20th. To purchase tickets, call 917-887-8710. That's 917-887-8710, or log on to www.may20coalition.org.
WBAI New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM.
Millions of years ago, we were running around with all the other animals, not much of a distinction between us, and then all of a sudden there was this evolutionary split. We became the humans, and they became the animals, and this separation was created.
This is Roberta Maria Atti with Armand DeMille and the Positive Mind Special. Join us Wednesday, May 10th from noon to 3 as we take you on a journey and we explore our conscious and unconscious connections to our animal companions.
That's this Wednesday, May 10th from noon, 12 o'clock to 3 p.m. Join us, my friends. And this is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind. That was a little promo for our upcoming show. We did have something here we wanted to play for you. Let's see if we can get it. Here it is. Good. About dating.
You know it very well.
Better than myself in some ways.
It's beautiful.
Has a fantastic peace.
Yes. It's serene. It has a kind of mathematical certainty that's almost sensual to me.
Yes, an order of finality.
Yes, organization.
She plays it with just incredible clarity.
Yes, she does.
Sneak in my room to hear it when I was a kid. My family was your usual, dull, bourgeois family. And there was really very little else for me.
Yeah. I guess my story is the same. My family was middle class, ordinary. And there was no relating. There was proximity, but no relating.
Can't be. The pressures are just incredible.
And of course, I had a great many difficulties, which I've been trying to resolve.
Yes, and I think you are. I mean, I haven't known you that long, but
yeah.
You know, when you consider the ambivalence of the woman's role.
It's incredibly ambivalent. It's so hard to resolve. It's so hard to acknowledge the fact that aggressiveness need not be hostile.
That's right. Yes, no. Adler was no fool.
No. I always thought of him as a fool, but he said some good things.
Yes, no, I've reread him recently. There are insights there.
Yeah. Too many people think of Adler as a man who made mice neurotic. He was more. Much more.
Can you move over a little? I'm falling off the bed.
I'm sorry.
A great deal more.
Yes, yes, he was. I like this.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Marianne?
Yes. Yes. Amazing comment.
Yes, the social insight. You think that music would inhabit, you know, because it's not verbal, but
yes, you know, when Huxley has Turton committing suicide to the last movement of the 15th, I understand that so well.
Oh.
Because not that it has any programmatic content.
No. There is always another dimension to music. And it's apart from life. I can never believe that Bartok died on Central Park West.
Isn't that ugly?
Ugly, ugly, ugly.
You got enough room?
Yeah, I do nothing.
You want the pillow?
No. No, I have my problems in relating. I do, but I think I can work through them. I've been trying.
Our relationship is so difficult.
Oh.
You try and to get a dynamic approach to it so that there are no absolutes necessary for your own
satisfaction. Well, of course, there are no absolutes in a relationship. Oh, I love this part.
Yes, here.
Yes.
It almost hurts.
Yes. Beauty often does.
Yes. What a shock when I discovered nature and you said that in Hawaii.
In many ways, when I read Thus Spake Zarathustra,
yes,
a whole world opened for me.
Exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, did that happen to you too?
Exactly.
Oh. I had never known such things existed,
yes,
you
yes,
know.
Yes. A door opening.
Can I have a cigarette?
Yeah, they're in my pocket.
No, I'll go get them.
No, I'll get them. Just wonderful. I don't know who... say this, but, you know, for the whole last 2 hours, I really had my anxiety allayed.
Really?
No anxiety.
I feel, when we were talking in the bar, that we've made an adjustment so rapidly.
So quickly.
Yes. I think we're going to have a relationship.
I think we are.
Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. Mike Nichols and Elaine May, circa 1968, I think, from their album, Mike Nichols and Elaine May. Beautiful thing. Looking for any excuse to play it. Glad I could play it for you. 212-209-2900, we're taking your calls today. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about relationships and people's relationships with each other and themselves, but going out on a date and what kind of a thing happens on a date with a friend, talk, conversation. Now, there was a conversation that you hear, and it sounded terrific, but then, of course, it was in bed, and it was a two-hour relationship. Those are very deep conversations. 212-209-2900, let's take your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Good day, Armand.
Thank you.
This is Monroe. How you doing?
Hey, Monroe. It's been a while.
No, not too long, I hope. Listen, my only contribution today is to suggest that whenever a person in a discussion doesn't understand something, they should immediately indicate, you know, just put their hand up in a kind of a way to sort of halting, you know, a gesture to say, what did you mean by that word, you know, prolivity or something, whatever word, you know what I mean? I'm just using a make-believe word there. But you understand what I'm saying, because one of the dangers of any conversation, and in meetings particularly, where you're sitting in a chair and somebody says something and you don't understand it, it could get to the point where many people don't understand it. And the truth of the matter is, I'm thinking that there should be a wired system where every chair in an audience has a button, and you could push it, or many buttons, and you could get an indication of the fact that many people don't understand what was just said.
Yeah, now I understand, Monroe.
That's my contribution.
Thank you for your contribution.
And the only contribution you could make is become the director of development at BAI, because they refuse to get somebody because it's a $90,000 a year job. But you could donate the funds back to the station and feel like a superhero and put me on helping you for $30,000, and the station would be ahead $60,000.
Oh, Monroe, that would be a real act of prolivity.
Thank you, Armand. Think
sure.
About it.
Bye-bye.
Right.
You know, sometimes people don't interrupt you when you're talking because they think that they're supposed to be smart enough to get it. You see, you say something, and they don't interrupt you, they don't understand the word, and they say, well, I'm going to get this in a minute because I'll get it from the context. So they won't always confront you. They won't always bring it to you. If they don't understand what you're saying, they're going to listen on for more material. 212-209-2900. 2900 WBAI, the station of Pro Liberty. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
Penelope.
Hello, Penelope.
I wanted to ask you if anybody has a relationship for a long time and then they don't know what it's about, that it seems shallow, but they're still drawn to the person.
Give me an example of that. You have somebody like that in your life?
I've had a long goodbye, and now my ex-boyfriend is in Washington State, and I feel like nothing without him, but I don't feel that much better with him either. And I was just diagnosed now with personality disorder. Is that related to not having a self of my own without him?
Well, I'm not so sure. But personality disorder is kind of an interesting diagnosis. It means a bunch of things. But, you know, I mean, one of the things that you could see is, you know, you could be dependent, and you could feel that there is no you without them, but it's usually not that severe. I mean, this is somebody you're saying, you have a boyfriend, he's in Washington, when you ache for him, you want to have an identity, you and him is the identity, but then when you get together with him, you don't feel anything.
That's it, yeah. That's exactly, I don't know what I'm yearning for. I still feel just, there's still an attachment, but there's no substance. It seems like it's just, he'll understand. It seems comforting because I think that he's just as lost as I am.
I hear. Do you have a dog?
We put the dog down.
I thought so. You got to get that dog back.
Well, yeah, we...
You need the dog back.
How did you know that?
I know. That was a big loss.
Oh, that's so perceptive. I can't believe it. Because when he had to leave, his dog was an older Saint Bernard.
Oh,
and
a big Nardo, one of these big, big animals?
Oh, they're so wonderful.
And you used to hug this dog all the time?
Yeah.
And why did you have to put him down?
I did, but he didn't go along with it. I think that he just resolved that he would be better with the other dog that was passed away, his mate, 2 years before. And I tried to find a home, but it was very hard with an elderly dog. And if it was just put up for foster care, I think it would just die of heartbreak anyway. And I love the dog very much.
Yeah, you broke your heart. I can hear it in your chest right now. You miss that.
I can't imagine how you knew that.
I want you to search the internet and find out about St. Bernard puppies.
Yeah.
They have them for adoption.
Yeah, they do. They do. They're really sweet.
I know.
I don't know whether I like the dog more than him or I can't make it out. It's just...
You know what the truth is? You're pissed off at him.
I'm angry at him. I'm furious.
That's right. You're angry, and that's why you feel such a detachment.
Oh.
Go get yourself the puppy.
Oh, thanks.
Name the puppy Armand.
Ah, that would be wonderful.
Very good name for a St. Bernard.
What?
A very good name for a St. Bernard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, certainly. They know your feelings. The dog definitely came over to me, and he said, oh, he's only sleeping. When I was away, the dog wouldn't even respond to him. He would respond to me.
Yeah, you need
your
puppy.
So I think maybe he was even jealous of that. I'm not sure.
You need your puppy. You need your puppy.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to mop my face up, so I better get off the phone.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Armand. Sure. All right, bye-bye.
Another act of proliferity. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call.
Hi, this is Thomas. Hello.
Hello, Thomas.
You know, when you were talking about people that don't talk in certain circumstances, I'm the type of person that I don't want to talk to anybody at all most of the time.
Ever.
If given a choice of talking and not talking, I usually prefer not to talk.
Are you an observer? Do you like to watch and see and observe without...
I think I am, but sometimes it gets me into situations because I'm married with children and my kids want to talk to me, and because my father was somewhat the same way I am, I realize the hurt you can do to a child by not speaking, so I speak and I'm personable and I'm nice to him and all that, But deep down inside, I just like say to myself, oh, go in the other room, leave me alone, go watch TV or something.
You know, if you're inside, sure, because you're a private kind of guy. And the words, sometimes the words don't really say anything, you see? Yes, your kids need that conversation, but they need, instead of the conversation, contact with you. And contact doesn't have to be words. Contact could be sitting around, watching something on TV, going outside, playing cards. All of that is contact. Because I understand how tough it is for you. And if it's tough to talk and you force yourself to talk, you always feel like everybody's an enemy. You know?
Yeah, and the thing is, I've become a good actor because I can go into certain social situations, and you never know I'm feeling this way. I'm just as personable. I crack jokes, and nobody really knows that. Most of the time, I just don't want to be bothered. And I was wondering, is there some kind of name for this or something?
Yeah, you don't like to talk. Actually, it does. You know, in the Enneagram, Enneagram, there's a personality style called the Five, which is called the Observer. You might take a look at that, and you'll learn about it. If you don't get it, just send me an email, armand@brainlink.com, and I'll send you the information on it.
So I'm not as abnormal as I think I am. Okay.
No. You're one twelfth of the world feels the way you do.
Thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Okay, Thomas.
Bye-bye.
212-209. For some men, it's excruciating to talk. Because unless they're in bed, you know, and just haven't met from someone, the idea of talking, let's have a conversation. We need to talk. Oh, no. The way most men feel. We need to have a conversation. Oh, no. This can't turn out good. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Marcia.
Marcia, hi.
Hi, this is very exciting. I never get through.
And you did. Terrific. I'm very excited about your being on the air, Marcia.
Thank you. I'm thinking about this girlfriend of mine, a person I've just met. And we come from the same background. We're both Puerto Rican. And the moment I met her, I felt a strong connection with her. But... and we have good conversations. But the problem that I have with her is that she always has to be right, and she never believes in anything that I say to her. So if I say that cranberry juice is good for you, she won't believe in me. And nothing that I say to her, she believes is true.
Yeah, and you know, I have a funny feeling that she listens to you, but she objects to everything you say.
Yes.
She discredits everything you say and that she listens to you.
Right. And she's very smart. She went to the best universities. She has a PhD. And we have good conversations, but...
It doesn't sound like she likes her mother very much.
She says she's like her mother to her mother. Like she has to be her mother's mother.
That's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Somebody who has to be their mother's mother, they never listen to anybody. That's a terrible thing. I feel so bad for her that she has to be her mother's mother. Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest to you is to understand that she's somebody who's going to reject every suggestion and smile at her a little bit and say to her, you know if I suggest something, you're going to reject it, so I'm not going to suggest it. I'm going to write it on a piece of paper and put it here under the telephone. If you could find it, not as a personal assault, because it's not about you.
Okay.
You know, it's not about you. It's about the damage that she had in childhood when she was cast from being a child to having to become an adult. Very painful.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marcia, have you tried to get through to us before?
Yes, many times.
Many times, and this is it.
Yes. It's always during my lunch break, too, so I have, like, little time to attempt.
I see. Yes. So this is the magic
can
time.
Can I add something else?
Sure.
One more thing with her. I don't know why I feel like I confide in her. But I also found out that she doesn't believe in being discreet. And we talked about it. And I told her, well, it's hard for me to trust you if you can't be discreet. And she said, that's something we're never going to agree on because I am not a discreet person. So it's almost like what I decided to do was not to tell her anything else, but that almost means like I don't have a real friendship with her now.
Well, it's kind of true you don't. You know, she's kind of thrown herself out there as a basket case. She's mm-hmm. kind of said, you know, she's put herself out there and she said to you, in effect, I'm a sick puppy. I can't keep your confidences. I can't be discreet. I can't control my mouth. I can't listen to your advice. I'm a damaged small child, and I don't know what to do about it. And she said, and I wish I could, but I can't. You see, you're going to have to deal with it, she says to you. And now you look at it and you say, yes, that is pretty limited. But, you know, it's a limited relationship with somebody who's damaged. And that's as limited as it's going to be. And this is, you take it for what it is and you find other friends.
Thank you so much. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Sure.
You're fantastic. I listen to your show every time I get a chance. I'm a teacher, so during my lunch break, I listen to your program. And it's really helpful to me.
Thanks, Marcia.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Armand DeMille here, 212-209-2900. We're taking calls today because next week, we will not be with you at our normal 1 o'clock on Tuesday. We will be with you at 12 o'clock, high noon, on Wednesday, noon to 3. Talking about you and your relationship to the animal world in many ways. Roberta Maria Atti and I will be doing that. So be sure to tune in for that one. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm on.
Hello.
This is John from Asbury Park.
Hello, John.
I was wondering, you being a healthcare professional, maybe you could give me a little advice. I'm having a hard time communicating with other healthcare professionals.
Is that healthcare professional your therapist?
Well, actually, I called the county helpline, and I was told to come down, that I could come down, and I tried to explain to them that I had no money. And a gentleman on the phone told me, they have a waiver form that I fill out, and if I don't have the money, I don't have to pay. So I said, all right. And he said, well, you know, I'll be here till 5:30. If you change your mind, come on there. So I sat, and I deliberated with myself over it, and I figured, what the heck? It's not going to cost me anything, so I went there. I talked to the people, and they told me they didn't want me to leave. They made me stay overnight. And to make a long story short, the following morning, I was told that there's not, it's not a waiver form, it's a charity care application. So I found out that I didn't qualify for it. And now I have this bill for $1,500. And when I tried to explain to the woman that I was told that it was a waiver form and I didn't understand that it was actually an application, well, I'm responsible for the bill and now they're sending me letters to the collection agency.
It's a funny world. It's not right. It clearly is wrong. Clearly, it's wrong. Maybe going to a court in small claims court or going to a judge and trying to deal with the judge system and say to a judge, you know, here's what it is, judge. This is the way it went. It doesn't seem fair. It's not fair. Sometimes you get caught up in the technical things, aspects of things. The mental health profession has suffered enormously in its inability to provide low-cost services to people who need it desperately. They used to be available. Nowadays, there's so little money out there that it's brutal. It's difficult. And I'm terribly sorry. I would say fight it. You're going to win. You're going to win.
You know, I already have problems, and now for me to have to go to small claims court to fight a $1,500 bill.
I thought
maybe the hospital administrator might be understanding. But the guy refuses to admit that he said it was a waiver form.
Yeah, I understand.
There's a big difference between a waiver form and an application.
I'm sorry. I wish, John, that I could wave a wand and have it go away. Because I think there's enough that you have on your plate already and that you suffer enough in life, and you don't need this added, but it is added.
All right. Thanks for your time, Armand.
Sure, and thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
This is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind. If you want to get a copy of today's program or any of our past programs, you could call 212-757-4488, or you can get it for free by going to the website, thepositivemind.com. ThePositiveMind.com, that's our website. They have a new newsletter that's up there. I will be back with you Wednesday, the 10th of May, with Roberta Maria Atti at noon. Be sure to tune in, my friends. Bye-bye for now.
listener-supported, commercial-free community radio WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. That was The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille, and I'm certainly glad that we had the opportunity to bring you, Monroe, onto the airwaves of WBAI. And yes, you did, in fact, get to have your say, and I'm very happy about that. Coming up next will be Perspective with Luis Reyes Rivera, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton at 3, Behind the News with Doug Henwood at 5 o'clock, and at 6 p.m., the WBAI Evening News. The new documentary, Dying to Have Known, which explores suppressed cancer cure, will have its world premiere at the New York International Independent Film and Video Festival on Friday, May 5th at the Village East Theaters, 189 2nd Avenue in Greenwich Village. For information, call 212-529-6799 or newyorkfilmvideo.com. And don't forget the African Film Festival. The New York African Film Festival has already taken place April 20th at the Apollo Theater. However, it will be at the Walter Reed Theater in Lincoln Center through May 4th, and at the International Center of Photography the 12th of May and the 19th, and at BAM later on in the month, the 26th through the 29th of this month. Please stay tuned. Coming up in a moment, Perspective with Luis Reyes Rivera.
Time to get those volunteers together again.
Because we're having a spring fun drive.
Starting this Monday, May 8th.
And ending May 31st.
And the overnights will begin on Friday, May 12th. And we'll have lots of wonderful overnight programs.
To volunteer, all you have to do is call area code
212-209-2800.
Or you can come in Monday morning.
And this is going to be the place to be.
That's why we're talking to you, the listener. Once again, we need your support. We need your help.
So come on out.
This Monday.
May 8th
through May 31st.
See you there.
Bye-bye.
Come on down. Yeah.
And we're supposed to be good. What?
Millions of years ago, we were running around with all the other animals, not much of a distinction between us, and then all of a sudden there was this evolutionary split. We became the humans, and they became the animals, and this separation was created.
This is Roberta Maria Atti with Armand DeMille and the Positive Mind Special. Join us Wednesday, May 10th from noon to 3 as we take you on a journey and we explore our conscious and unconscious connections to our animal companions.
That's this Wednesday, May 10th from noon, 12 o'clock to 3 p.m. Join us, my friends.